You want to watch something?
Yeah. Anything in mind?
Actually, yes. The Salted Rose.
Who's that by?
Sacramento Thwarp.
Oh, I adore the pictures of Sacramento Thwarp. Is it on Netflix?
Prime.
Good. What's its score on IMDb?
8.2.
Rotten Tomatoes?
100%.
What did The Guardian think?
Liked it.
The Mail?
Hated it.
It's not too long, is it? Because I don't want to get to bed too late.
An hour and 42.
Subtitled?
Not unless you want them.
Dubbed?
In a dozen languages.
At the same time?
No.
Have any of our friends seen it?
Don't think so.
But they will, right?
Oh, God, yeah. We'd be getting ahead.
Uh-huh.
One can.
Can? Really?
Think so.
Do we still have a Disney Plus account?
Yeah.
Cool. We'll watch The Simpsons.
Welcome to Sketching Out.
I like this one, Adam. I like this sketch because it's like what sometimes happens in real life.
Often.
Although it used to happen, but we haven't watched The Simpsons together in a long time.
I watched some this week.
Okay, so you've been watching The Simpsons with someone else, is what I can surmise.
You know you're welcome anytime.
No, that's okay. It is your Disney Plus account, I suppose. This is based on real life, wasn't it?
Pretty much.
What film were we watching?
It wasn't The Salted Rose.
Okay.
By what? Sacramento Thwarp.
Tell me about The Salted Rose.
The film?
Yeah.
I
haven't seen it yet.
The Salted Rose. The Salted Rose. What can I say about The Salted Rose? The thing is, Phil, is it's just, it's so difficult to categorize it. I would say that, and as is typical of Sacramento Thwarp's pictures, it transcends the hemmed-in, boxed-in categories that we've arbitrarily set up for ourselves
spans,
in art.
It spans the genre, does it? If you were to combine two films to tell me kind of what it was, what would those two films be?
Okay, so those two films would be...
It's kind of a mix
Armageddon,
of...
Armageddon,
it's a kind of a mix of Armageddon.
It's kind of like Armageddon meets... The Constant Gardener, but not what The Constant Gardener is actually about, what you might imagine it was about.
Someone who's constantly gardening is what I imagine
it's about.
So he doesn't stop.
So imagine that.
Right, okay.
So basically, and I'll explain why it's like Armageddon and The Constant Gardener if you pretend that's what The Constant Gardener was about, which it most certainly was not. So basically, there's a man in his garden and he's tending to not just his roses, all his flowers. Then one day, a few days after they've tried to drill this asteroid that was coming to hit planet Earth, some of the debris from the asteroid breaks off and it collides with the Russian SALT satellite.
Where they store the salt for space.
Yes, the space salt.
The space salt shaker. Saltnik.
when it hits the Saltnik. It's smashed in half. It's completely irreparably damaged.
So there's salt all over the planet. But what happens with the rose? So the rose
is the
only thing that doesn't get salted, is that right?
That's right.
And he can't figure out why.
That's right.
Oh yeah, no, I have heard of this.
They were gonna call it the unsalted rose. But because of what happens, I won't tell you what happens in the end. They decided to call it Salted Rose.
Is it salted by the end?
I won't say.
Okay.
There's already been a lot of spoilers.
I don't.
That all happens in the first 30 seconds.
I was
going
to say, I don't want to hear any more. Does it open with the asteroid
smashing
into Saltnik?
That's right.
Okay, fine. What's the response from various governments to the smashing of Saltnik?
So one of the things I really like about the film is that exactly you would have thought all this kind of like very large scale
global disaster,
it will have enormous ripple effects. And I'm sure it does. And as is so typical of Sacramento Thwarp's pictures, he chooses to focus on the sort of individual human aspect of it.
The reductionist.
Yeah, he really zooms in.
Okay.
On the Constant Gardener and the Rose.
Is it more about the gardener? Is it more about the rose? Is it more about the salt? Is it more about the global
response
to Armageddon?
No, it's not about that. It's about the relationship that he has with the rose.
Okay. This would be only good for the plants in the guy's garden, because if he had a slug problem, that's gone.
Yeah. I mean, plants need a bit of salt, don't they?
Plants need salt as much as the next organism, Adam, I believe.
Yes.
They need sodium. They need chloride.
They need salt.
They need salt. So we like The Simpsons.
Oh, I love The Simpsons.
Okay. If you were writing for The Simpsons.
Oh my God.
What would happen in the episode? Schumann, we hear you're this up and coming comedy writer. You've got the podcast. You've got the... We want you to write for us, The Simpsons.
Wow.
I know.
That
I
is
know.
A huge honor. I know.
Now, we'd like to hear your pitch. Come on now? In. Come on into the pitch room. Oh, it's fine. God. We've got lots of executives. I'll be the only one who speaks. They'll just be watching you with judgy eyes. But they're real.
Okay.
All right. Show us what you got. Just relax. Have fun with it. You wanna duff? That's right. It's fun working here. No pressure.
Okay.
How about a donut? They're cartoon-sized donuts. Okay, I'll put the donuts back. Now, off you go. No more interruptions from me, Chief Executive.
Okay, so what I was thinking...
Tell us your idea for a Simpsons episode. Fade in, Bart, with Marge, in the kitchen, making a papier-mâché head of Abraham Lincoln. There's your prompt.
So Marge says something like, making projects for school is neat.
We don't need you to do the voices. Okay. That will just prolong the interview process.
So Homer comes in and he's like, I won't do the voice.
You're not going
like,
to do the voice.
He's like, Marge, where is breakfast? And she's like, I couldn't help with breakfast. Bart's got to make paper mache heads and busts of every president ever. We've got one of Abraham Lincoln here, but it might be a while before you get breakfast because we have to make...
Are you starting from the end and working backwards?
No, they started with Abraham Lincoln. They have to go in both directions.
Oh, so you haven't even done the ones before Abraham Lincoln?
No.
Okay, so Homer's on his own.
So Homer's stuck. Homer's got to somehow get breakfast. He's got to get fed.
Okay.
In the morning.
I love it.
Really?
Yeah, come on board. Here's your pass to the set.
Oh my god.
We'll introduce you to Homer and Lisa and Marge later.
This is just how I imagined it.
Yeah.
This is just how I imagined it. Yeah, all those years in comedy.
I know. Don't look directly into Homer's eyes when you meet him.
Dan?
No.
Oh, Homer.
Homer. Call him Homer. Do not call him Dan Castellanata. What's his name? Dan Castellanata.
Yeah.
Do not look him in the eyes.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
What happens if you look
Ask me what happens if you look him in the eyes. But just know that you are only being interviewed because the last person to have this job made the mistake of looking Homer in the eyes.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Are they okay?
Don't look Homer in the eyes.
But otherwise, I'm all good, right?
Yeah, you're all good as long as you remember the one rule of the set. Do I need to say
it? No, it was the Homer thing, right?
Yes. Okay. Where are you not going to look?
In his eyes.
That's right.
How will he know if I'm talking to him?
You know what? It's best if you just don't talk to Homer.
Okay.
Hey, nice to meet you. I'm Homer.
Oh, Jesus. Hi.
Look at me. Look at me.
I'm, you know what, I can see you, I can see your feet fine, because what is a man? We often look in the eyes.
I'm the voice of Homer. Did you know that?
Yeah, no.
What voice are you doing?
Oh, I don't do voices.
Oh, you don't do voices.
I'm writer. Okay.
Have you heard of me? I'm Homer Simpson.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan.
Yeah, you might have heard of me. Yeah.
So what you been up to?
Do you think my drama school teacher's heard of me?
Sorry?
Yeah. Do you think he's probably heard of me by now? Probably. Homer Simpson. Yeah. I've showed them all, didn't I?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a question, Homer?
Yes. You're not looking me in the eyes, are you?
Nope. Still on the feet. Looking at
you. Are you wearing contact lenses?
Oh, God, no! Gosh, that is one scary Homer. All right, moving on.
The first sketch is called Hearts.
Okay, so that's one couch and two armchairs to be picked up on Friday. Thanks for supporting the British Heart Foundation. Sorry about that. Can I help?
Help? You're damn right I can help. Look what I've got. Hoover. Yes. Good as new? No. 1995 model. Near silent? No. You'll know this baby's on. Dual cyclone? No way. One average cyclone. Got a socket? Sure you do. Oh, shock. Let you know it's good to go. May give you superpowers.
This really isn't necessary.
Ah, carpet already clean? No problem. Brought my own mud from home.
Please.
All right, let's hoove. Just listen to that cyclone.
You're just rubbing it further into the carpet.
Yeah, I am a bit. Think some of this mud might have been here already.
It wasn't.
Agree to disagree.
It's on fire.
Now, not to worry. Fire extinguisher? Yes. Foam? No. Carbon dioxide? No. Water? Yes. Full? No. Emptied it on a flock of pigeons when I first came in? Yes.
Everyone out!
Ah, you drive a hard bargain, sir. All right, final offer. Pigeon. Dry? No, wet. All right, how many hearts?
Sorry?
Hearts. British hearts. What's it worth? 4 hearts, I'd say.
You're mad. 2.
So I was looking on the British Heart Foundation website just scout out the enemy. Yeah. and they've got a really good slogan. It says, "We fund research to keep hearts beating and blood flowing."
Okay.
Very good.
Yeah.
I could get behind that.
It's vital. It's a vital message.
They should say their work is vital because the heart is a vital organ. Yeah. If you're listening, British Heart Foundation.
Yeah, it's a freebie.
You can have that one. Not for free.
It's
to keep blood flowing. Rivers of blood, they say, Adam. They say release the rivers of blood.
Can we not just get some rivers of blood?
Blood rivers.
But streams of blood.
The streams all run red with blood would be what a villain would say if they were, you know, they were kind of evil, but they weren't hell-bent on it.
I guess not all villains want the extreme. There are those who do. There are those who want the world.
Sauron,
Hitler.
Voldemort.
Yeah.
But then there are your minor villains.
Yeah.
Like Preeti Patel, the Joker.
Ooh.
Does the Joker want the world? The Joker just wants to...
watch the world burn, famously.
Yeah, that's true. I guess that is kind of...
That's most of the world.
That's quite evil.
Okay, so we'll put him in the serious villain category.
Okay, so we're going to put the Joker in the serious villain category. Who's are we going to... on this board of serious villains and moderate villains...
Yeah.
Lord Farquaad from Shrek, where would he go?
Nice, he's...
moderate.
Oh, I don't know.
Really?
Well, you know, he's got a very sort of authoritarian aspect to him.
But is he after world domination? He does try and imprison all of the mythical characters, creatures.
And which he says are ruining my perfect world. He says that.
So no, your knowledge of Shrek means that we put him in the serious villain category.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Thank God I knew. We might have made a grave mistake. Putting him in with the mild villains might have turned all the mild ones.
Yeah. If we put him in low security villain jail,
he could escape.
He would have gotten weekends at home.
Oh my God.
With that.
Oh my God.
That would have been a nightmare. I know. Imagine the...
Mike Myers would be furious.
We do not want to annoy
If there's
Mike
anyone
Myers.
We don't want to piss off, it's Mike Myers.
It's Homer
We're
and Mike
so
Myers.
Sorry, Mike. Please come back and make some more films. You were amazing.
You haven't replied to our email about the podcast. The dentist from Finding Nemo.
Dala from Finding Nemo.
Serious villain. I'm sorry, I won't
from
have Dala.
To planet.
If you want to eat Nemo, you've got to be pretty evil.
Right. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Sid from Toy Story.
I don't know Toy Story very well.
We'll be right back.
Phil, come on. No, stop. Phil, no.
And we're back, aren't we, Adam?
I've been meaning to watch it forever.
Okay. All right. I'll watch them with you. I'd love to watch them with you.
Great.
I was the same age as Andy. As in, it was perfect. As in, he was going off to university. He was 18, and he was giving away his toys. And it was the summer before I was going to university. It was really... Yeah, Pixar wrote my life.
Except I bet there was one difference. Did you give away your toys? I bet you didn't.
There's a Woody right there.
I wish we could have visual just for 1 second to show the Woody that's looking at me.
Yeah, this is a visual medium required, but there is a Woody in the corner of the room.
God, he's been waiting there for this moment for 11 episodes.
He's been there. He has been there since the start. He's seen everything. I'm not giving him away.
No, so that's the key difference.
I have no interest in sequels past Toy Story 3. I'm not Disney. What type of Hoover do you have? In the sketch, the guy's trying to sell a Hoover. Tell me about your Hoover.
We actually don't have a Hoover.
I'm sorry.
We don't have a Hoover. I occasionally borrow my mum's.
You don't have a Hoover? So you've had to borrow... You had
it's
to
dusty.
Lug a Hoover.
It's pretty dusty. Yeah.
Can you buy one?
They're expensive.
It's worth an
Hoovers
investment.
Hoovers are expensive.
Not all of them. I've had ones in the past.
I need both cyclones. I won't do it without both cyclones.
No.
That's the thing. It's both cyclones or broke for me.
There are other brands that do have more than one cyclone, I believe. I think. I'm not quite sure.
When you say other brands.
What does Dyson... Are you talking about Dyson Dual Cyclone?
I wasn't, but obviously Dyson...
Do they own the concept of dual cyclone of two cyclones? Is that the patent?
I have
You're big on patent law. you were studying the other day, Dummy's Guide to Patent Law. And the idea for that book, ironically, was not patented. And I'm writing my own rival one now. So I was looking into James Dyson.
Oh, yeah?
I still don't know the answer to this question. Does James Dyson own the concept, own a patent to it or something? Because what is like a Henry
Probably.
Hoover?
Probably. I mean, it's insane. You can have the patent.
But he didn't come up with the idea of dual cyclone technology. As in, he put it inside a vacuum, but they were already using it in other industries.
Oh, really?
To remove like particulates from work sites and things.
So what did he patent? I don't know.
I don't know. Putting it inside a Hoover, I guess.
But maybe it just wasn't patented yet. Like how in America, they patented adrenaline.
Sorry.
Which is why in all American medical textbooks or any American medical literature, it's called epinephrine.
Wait, is that right? Is it because a company called it epinephrine?
At one point, it was named and patented adrenaline by a company. So you could no longer refer to the hormone that you have in your body as adrenaline in medical textbooks without it being a reference to that patented thing.
I just thought they called it a different name. I didn't realize it was because they patented it.
Yeah, that's why they call it epinephrine.
That's so American.
It's unbelievable.
That's great.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. They've stolen my hormone.
James Dyson. Okay, so yes. James Dyson. He spent 5 years, apparently, coming up with the prototype for the first Dyson Hoover.
5 years?
And he had 5,127 prototypes before he came up with the one that he started to sell. You know, there's in another universe, he stopped at the 5,127th.
He gave up.
He was like, that's it. It's a pipe dream. I'm going back to law school.
The world just doesn't want dual cyclone technology in Hoovers. After the 5,126th, I really should have known. I wish I hadn't built that last one.
He couldn't face another Christmas at home with his high-flying family and, you know, his sister who was a partner at
Hoover
KPMG. Yes. It's like, well, here at Hoover, we don't believe that you need two cyclones and that actually people like buying the bags.
And he's just sitting through Christmas just trying to drink his
way
through.
He's just grinding his teeth. And he always has to Hoover up afterwards as well. That's his job. That's why he was so obsessed with the idea of the Hoover.
It was inadequate.
It was inadequate, yeah. He was in charge of his chore every week at home was to Hoover.
That makes so much sense.
I know. He probably used his house as a testing ground, right? So do you think he was constantly just eating popcorn and just dropping it on the floor all the time? And then
never took his shoes off.
His wife goes to work. His wife was an arts teacher and would go off to work. Supported him whilst he was doing it. He's constantly just chucking everything on the floor. And then every day she gets up and the floor is filthy. And he's like, don't worry, honey. Today's the day. And she'd come home and it would never be the day. Apart from one day.
Five years later,
the floor is pristine. And she's like, hey, you've done such a good job here, honey, that I'm going to take the bag out of the Hoover for you and put it in the bin. And he'll say, oh, there's no bag. And she, Adam, is the happiest woman this side of the Mississippi.
James.
Yes, Mum. James. Yes, Mum.
Oh, it's so lovely having you here at Christmas.
Oh, thanks, Mum. I was just looking at all the things in the room that I could put together to make new contraptions for society. And
Shut up, James. It's time, isn't it, darling? Don't you think you should get the Hoover and finish up after dinner for the annual Christmas tradition?
Have you got the...
It just means so much to me.
Have you still got the same Hoover, Mum? I just don't...
Of course we do. Good as ever. Here's our Henry Hoover.
Okay.
It's got a whole cyclone.
Could I do the dishes or just...
could James, you are so funny. Your sister does the dishes, remember?
Oh, but my sister has that internship at the Hoover Company. It'll probably be good experience for her to do the hoovering this year.
James, that poor girl's around Hoovers all day. Oh. Why don't you give her a break and do us all a favour and do the hoovering, it's just what you do.
Okay, I'll do this one last year, Mum, but next year you've got to...
Okay, James, so good to... I love you.
You've got to... Next year, can you try out one of my inventions? It's called a ball table, and it's a table with balls on the bottom, and if you want to move the table, you just move it, and you don't have to pick it up. It's great. It's really good. Toys R Us are... It's called ball table, and also, I've also got this fork, which is also a knife. And I call it a fife, but apparently that's a place in Scotland and they're trying to sue me now for quite a lot of money, so it's probably going to take me quite a lot more time to make it all my thing.
Yeah, that's the thing.
It's called...
James, do you ever think...
The knife pen, Mum.
Yeah.
You're sitting there eating your dinner with your food that requires a knife and you think, huh, I've got a good idea for an invention. What about a knife that's also a pen?
Yeah, see, the thing is, James, is that...
And you need to put the idea down on paper, but you've only got a knife. I introduce to you the knife pen. With all new knife pen, you'll never be short of a knife or a pen.
Yeah, honey, that sounds great. Maybe I'll look at it later. But, you know, all of these things, you've been doing this for many years now.
Inventing? I love inventing.
Yeah, and you've got, you know, no one can deny that you've got your ball table and your knife pen.
It's called knife pen, Mum.
Knife pen, and what was the other thing?
It
doesn't matter. The point is, James, that...
Table knife.
Yeah. No, James.
You ever buy a table and you think, oh, well, I need a...
when we put you through engineering school...
Yeah, I actually went to the Royal College of Art.
Oh, I thought he was an engineer.
Yeah, he is.
Where did you learn engineering?
I don't know. The streets.
When we put you through, we put you through the streets. And it wasn't easy supporting you through the streets.
No, Mum.
And we were sort of thinking that, you know, you've been doing this for such a long time. Have you ever thought of maybe going back?
I won't go back to law school, Mum.
Oh, but you're so good at it. You're
no,
so
I'm not.
Good at
I don't
want to
make laws. I want to break them. You know that about me.
You love the law.
No,
you
I
always
don't.
Love the law. You
I don't
love the law growing
pay.
Up.
I did.
You said to me, Mummy, if I ever say I want to do anything other than law in my life, take me out and shoot me. And obviously... Darling, when you
but I didn't have knife pen.
Make, I know, and when you said you wanted to make knife pen, I didn't shoot you once. But
but okay, listen. If I do the,
I made a promise, James, to you.
Mum, it's gonna work out, and then you'll see. I'll move to Singapore, like we've always wanted.
With this, with what? This knife pen? It's a crackpot pipe dream. Pen.
Plenty of people think it is a fine idea.
Like who? Name some names.
The Swiss.
All the Swiss.
All, yeah, the Swiss.
Okay.
I'm going to go and Hoover now with this terrible piece of crap. But apparently this is the best we could do. If you could just get a better Hoover for me, I'd be more than happy to do it. But I just, you know what? I'm starting to think it's not even your fault. I'm starting to think that the whole industry is backward. I'm starting to think...
The Hoover industry?
Yeah.
What, are you mad? It's perfect. It's finished. It couldn't get any better.
But what if it's not?
Oh, don't be ridiculous.
What if it's not?
James, everything the way things are now are the way they will be forever.
Ideas are just coming, Mum. I'm sorry. One second. I'm just seeing figures and numbers and cyclones. And have you got a pen? You got a pen? Have you got a pen? Pass me that knife.
No, this James. Is, no, that's just a regular knife.
No, it's
no,
fine.
It's a regular knife.
Look, I'll show you. Look quick. Let me just draw over my radial artery.
James, no. All right, that's enough of that.
Next.
The next sketch for you today is tin. Jim, come in. Eating your complimentary company chickpeas? Ha, just had mine. Excellent batch. How you doing? What do you got for me?
Well, look, I know I haven't worked at the Good Tinned Goods Company long, Mr. Moskowitz, but the other day when I sliced my finger, it hit me. We put ring pulls on every tin. Not just some cans of tuna or sweet corn, I mean every tin, and we dispense with the tin openers forever.
Get over here.
What?
Shut the goddamn door. Get over here, you son of a bitch. Close those blinds.
What's going on?
Who else have you mentioned this to?
No one.
No one? Not your wife? Your parakeet? Your goddamn houseplant?
Mr. Moskowitz, I don't understand.
Answer the question!
No one, boss, I swear.
Jesus Christ, Jim. You nearly gave me a heart attack.
Mr. Moskowitz, I'm scared.
Me too, Jim. If Big Tin Opener find out about this, we'll be in trouble. Big trouble.
But why?
Well, you said it yourself, Jim. With ring pulls, there won't be much call for a tin opener. And the bosses, they can't have that. Even with the trillions they made in tin opening, it's not enough. Those greedy sons of bitches. Can't you see, Jim? Big Tin Opener is at the heart of our society. They run everything from politics to tin openers. Didn't you ever wonder why there's a tin opener on a $1 bill?
There is?
Shut up! Don't you get it? I'm on your side. No one is more tired of manually draining their kidney beans than me. The finger situation is perilous. I have nightmares about it. Rivers of blood as I rinse my hand under the sink. But I'm on my last strike, kid.
What do you mean?
I was once like you, Jim. Young, ambitious, naive. I came to my boss, right, rather a lot like you coming to me now. And he told me much the same, but I didn't listen. That night I slapped a ring pull on every goddamn tin in this joint. When I went down to exports the next day, they were gone. Vanished overnight, every last ring. All that was left was the cold, bare surface of a tin that requires an opener. And don't you see, Jim? They are one. The tin and his opener. The light and the dark. The slave and the master. As I was going home that night, they grabbed me.
Who
do you think, Jim? The big cheese, the head honcho, the big tin opener person. And he said to me that if I ever tried to pull the lid off this thing, I'd go the way of Jay West.
Who?
Exactly. Used to be a great tin man. Now he sleeps with the fishes. Death certificate said he hung himself, but I know it was botulism.
You know an awful lot, Mr. Moskowitz. A little too much, wouldn't you say?
What? No. No, not you, Jim. Not you too. I brought you into my home. My wife made you dinner. We had sardines. I can't feel my legs.
It's paralysis, Mr. Moskowitz. Clostridium botulinum. But you already knew that. Wait a minute. What the hell is happening to my legs?
It's paralysis, Jim. I switched the chickpeas. Left the antidote in this tin. You might struggle with it, mind. It's got no ring pull. But I hear that's just how you boys like it.
I didn't understand how important tin openers were to the world before I listened to this sketch.
Yeah, so, okay. But in all seriousness...
Here comes the agenda.
In all seriousness, why, seriously, why do all tins not have a ring pull? Can you think of a reason? Because if you can, then that's fine. But I can't think of a reason.
Because some people, I'm coming up short here.
Nah.
Are they sturdier without a ring pull, maybe?
Okay, I wondered this as well.
As in, if you want but canned goods, if you want really good canned tinned goods.
Like
things you'd have in your bunker in the after the apocalypse. So, you know, peaches.
Peaches, tin peaches.
Tin peaches.
Okay, I've never eaten tin peaches, so I don't know if they have a ring pull.
Have you ever had tin peaches?
Do they have a ring pull? Would they need? I can't remember. Why couldn't they have a ring pull?
I am with you that there might be something going on, but there also could be a very plausible explanation. Before we march on the Capitol, can we please just email the head of... Who do we email? Who makes
tins?
Big Tin. Who is the big tin opener person?
We don't know. We don't know. He's faceless. It's terrifying.
What do you mean he's faceless?
Well, we don't know. As in, we don't know who it is. We don't have seen any pictures.
But what is it? What could his agenda possibly be? Is it all about money?
From tin openers?
Oh, it is money.
It's always money.
Okay, when you come down to it. So he's more of a moderate villain.
He is a moderate villain, but there's some really sinister undertones because think about it. They kind of hold the key to getting the food. I don't know how they could have used that.
That's an interesting way of looking at it.
I don't know how they could make use of that yet. But
in the apocalypse,
it's symbolic.
The big tin man with a tin opener is God.
Is king.
Yeah.
In the land of the tin opener.
He has key to nourishment.
Yes.
Sir, may I borrow your key to nourishment?
Well, what's it worth to you?
Anything.
All right.
Anything.
Do you have
me.
Any...
Take me.
No,
I don't take one of the children.
I'm not
take
gonna...
me.
What the hell is wrong with you? I'm not going to take you or your children, you freak. Look, I'll take... You got any good books on the go?
I've got a lovely book by Dan Brown called The Da Vinci Code.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah. Is that really...
It's excellent.
I don't want
it's
anything
really
that's about
good.
The apocalypse because I'm really bored of this. It's not about the apocalypse, is it?
It's...
I couldn't
it's
read a book
set
about it.
During the apocalypse.
Oh, okay. Tell me about it.
Basically, so have you ever heard of Leonardo da Vinci?
No.
No.
Who's that?
He was a guy, nice guy.
Yeah.
He invented and painted and things. He did all sorts, really. He invented dual cyclone technology years before anyone else did.
Wow.
Basically, the book is about Tom Hanks, who on a trip to Paris to film The Da Vinci Code, has to solve the code of
the code
where Leonardo da Vinci kept the great invention that he came up with.
Dual cyclone.
Which was a dual cyclone technology.
Hang on a minute.
Cleaner.
Do you mean to say that
the
Da Vinci
antagonist
code...
is a British entrepreneur?
Do you mean to say... It's not James Dyson.
It might be. I'm not going to give it away.
Oh my God. Is it real, this code?
Is it true? It's a good book. Sorry.
Is it fiction, though? Because it sounds just like...
It's faction. It says at the start, based on a true story. And then it says, brackets, an ongoing story. And then there's a picture of James Dyson underneath it.
Okay, I'll read it.
Yeah. I've also got Stephen King's The Stand.
Okay.
Which is about a coming-of-age story.
Yeah.
About a mutant virus from a bio lab.
The mutant virus comes of age.
Yeah, it's coming of age. It's finding itself in the world. It's finding itself everywhere in the world. And it kills 99% of the human population. But by the end, it's really learned some lessons along the way.
Like what?
Humans are quite easy to infect with a mutant virus.
Wow.
I know. It's good. You should read it.
It sounds a bit apocalypsy, though.
It's a little bit apocalypsy.
There's all this apocalypse going on.
But it'll give you a fresh take on the apocalypse. You must be bored of this apocalypse now. You want to get into another apocalypse.
I'm quite bored of it. Bury
yourself. Bury your mind into another apocalypse. Maybe people will have some good ideas there in other apocalypses.
To use in this apocalypse?
Yeah, things that you could use.
Okay.
I mean, you're doing well as it is. I mean, it's been 4 years.
Yeah, well, I've got a tin opener.
You really are a god in this world.
Well, yeah. So what else you got? I read a book a day.
I've got The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. Or Eckhart Tolle.
I beg your pardon.
It's The Power of Now. It's. Do you ever find yourself in the apocalypse having all of these thoughts about the future and anxieties and, what if I get eaten by a mutant zombie tomorrow?
I used to have this. I used to have these anxieties pre-apocalypse about all kinds of things happening. But you know what's weird?
Mm.
Since the apocalypse, every single one of my neuroses has gone. I've never been so present because I don't know who's going to eat me.
You're living in the moment.
Exactly.
Yeah. You're living like an animal. You're living day to day. You're not worrying.
I don't think about yesterday. I'm not thinking about future. I'm just happy to be alive today.
You don't need it. You don't need The Power of Now. Eckhart Tolle is redundant in this post-apocalyptic world. You're right. Yeah. So here are those books.
All right.
Can I use the tin opener? I've already given you the books.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got the
books.
Would
be a gentleman's agreement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So listen, what's your name?
Roger Flenderson.
Listen, Rog. They're all right books you've given me.
They're good books.
They're all right, Rog. Let's agree they're all right. And the thing is that I'm a man of integrity and tin openers. And it's because of that integrity that I'm able to decide what something is worth. And these books are worth 10 degrees of tin opening.
Oh, don't. Each.
Total, Rog. Do you want the 10 degrees off your tin of peaches?
Do I get to choose which way you turn it?
Yes.
Fine. I'll just dig the rest out with my fingers.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I've got some other books that you might be interested in. What other kitchen utensils are funny? Got a whisk.
Whisks are funny. Do you do much whisking?
No. For some reason, I always use a fork.
Yeah.
Even though I have a whisk. It's just staring at me whisking with a fork, and it's like, this is ridiculous. I am
designed.
Taliban, you never use me. And he's right there.
Yeah.
It's not like he's in a drawer. He's right next to where I would use him on display. Just I like him to watch. As I fork my eggs.
So is this to scramble eggs?
All sorts. Scramble eggs, scramble beans. You can scramble all sorts nowadays. You've got a fork.
Once you're a man with a fork, you're not just a man with a fork.
Yeah, and a knife pen.
When you're making scrambled eggs, the fork is fine.
Yeah.
In fact, you don't even need to scramble them. You can just put them straight in the pan and then just give them a shift around if you want. And it will form this sort of mottled yellow white colour, which is actually all right. And it tastes
rubbish.
Great. No, it's true.
This is heresy.
No.
You're telling me that I can put 4 eggs just in a pan and I don't have to like scramble.
Just give them a gentle stir once they're in.
A gentle stir.
Yeah, just
split. This isn't a Pixar film, Adam. We're making eggs.
You just need to split the yolk, trust me.
Oh, okay, so you do have to split the yolk.
Yeah, but it's like as
okay, fine. So if
gentle stir.
If I surgically, if I put 4 eggs in a pan,
yes,
apart from each other, like they each get their own space,
yeah,
and then I just split the yolks, you're telling me that will make me scrambled eggs?
Yeah, I mean...
with a surgical incision to the yolk, and I'm no pushing.
Well, I mean, as in you'll need to do some pushing later.
Obviously. Oh, yeah, there's all this work now.
No. As in the same amount of pushing as you do. Basically, you don't have to do the forking bit.
Why? Because you want me to use a whisk?
No, because you can just do it with a spatula.
Okay, fine. I mean, I'll try it.
Okay.
But if it goes wrong, you owe me eggs. And I will use 12 eggs for the experiment.
Very well.
Very well.
I'm confident.
A dozen eggs. But if you're right, you have to come around and eat some eggs.
How many?
How many eggs do you think you could eat?
I genuinely think, and I've thought about this many times, as you know, over the past few years, though never actually done it.
Oh God, I've actually forgotten. It just lended itself to this question.
I think I could just about eat 26 eggs.
Rubbish.
If I was super hungry.
Rubbish.
Really?
26 eggs.
Have you seen...
That's absurd.
Yeah, I mean...
When? Set up the world for me where you could eat 26 eggs.
Okay, I've run 26 miles.
Okay, yeah, there's that first.
And I want 26 eggs.
Okay, so you go into a shop. Okay.
I go into a shop.
Ah, bonjour!
Hi.
Sir.
Hello.
Welcome to the oeuf shop.
Oh.
Where we sell oeuf. You can definitely have enough eggs, we say.
I like it.
As you can see on the menu, we have 2 eggs... on toast, 3 eggs on toast, 4 eggs on toast.
Listen, Jacques, I'll tell you why I'm here, okay? I'm here because I was told there was always enough at this establishment. And today, enough for me would be 26 eggs.
Ugh! 26 eggs?
You heard me, Jacques.
I'm just pressing a button under the counter. My
Jacques, you called! What, is it true?
This man has asked for 26 eggs.
Mais non, Jacques!
Do we have that many eggs?
Do you think it could be? He was foretold.
Francois, I do not wish to hope that this is the man. The one they said would eat an oeuf, and then an oeuf, and then an oeuf.
How many oeufs?
And then an oeuf, plus 22 more oeufs.
Mon dieu.
Get me the largest pan we have.
You can't mean...
I do. Don't bother using a fork beforehand. Nor even a whisk.
Quoi?
And I do not know what is happening to my accent, but I am half French and half English.
Ah oui. That explains a lot.
Now back...
I am as well.
Just drop them in the pan, split the yolks with a surgical scalpel, and step back for 3 minutes.
But Jack...
And we will have 26 eggs.
No, that sounds crazy. How could you split 26 yolks? Surely we have to fork them.
Ah, Francois. Francois, listen to me. Listen close. That's all the French accent I know. Just stand back and leave it 4 minutes. And then we will stand as brothers and watch this man, this brave man, eat an oeuf. And then an
yes,
oeuf.
And 26 eggs. Allez, vite!
Okay, so 26 eggs. Okay, we'll do it one day. Well, I won't. You will. And I'll film it. Okay, well, that'll do, pig. That'll do. Thanks for listening to episode 11. Do us a favour, if you would be most kind, and go to Apple Podcasts and give us a rating and leave us a comment. Follow us on Spotify and follow us on Facebook and the Twitter, which you can find on callplatescomedy.com. Isn't that right, Adam?
Yes, and don't forget Instagram.
What did I say? Facebook and Twitter?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sorry. We don't even have Facebook. Instagram.
That's right.
Which is part of Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And sign up for the newsletter at callplatescomedy.com.
There's exciting news on there its way.
There's lots of exciting news on its way. Oh, God, we really got to deliver now.
Sign up. Force us to deliver. Give us deadlines.
Have a great week. Look after that ticker. May your cyclones always be Jewel. And may your tins have ring pulls.